I'd like to welcome everybody here tonight. The message I have tonight is a little scrambled, so I hope it makes sense once it finally comes out. So before we begin, we'll bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift that is your Son, to know that he went to the cross for us so that he could pay the debt of our sins, so that we might know the joy of salvation. We thank you for this time that we can spend, both believers and those yet unsaved, that we can come together here and hear your word. And we ask that those who might not yet be saved might know the urgency and the need of their salvation, and those that are already saved would remember that great cost that was paid for them, that we never forget it. So all these things we pray in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I got a few verses I'm going to read and some words that are hopefully going to come out right. So the first reading we'll do is in Acts chapter 26. Acts 26 and verse 27. This is Saul talking to King Agrippa. Saul's in chains at this point. And verse 27 reads, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. In the Bible, there's few words that really hold the weight of the phrase almost. Almost safe, almost rescued, almost convinced. When it comes to your soul, being almost saved is still completely lost. Paul stood before King Agrippa here. And he didn't hold back with his question. He was standing there in chains, and he still felt the clarity and the passion and the conviction of the gospel message that he asked the king, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. The king had heard the truth before, the truth of the gospel. He had the knowledge of it, and he was no stranger to the religion of the scriptures. And yet when he was confronted with the gospel, confronted with this question that he must answer, he gave the truly heartbreaking response of, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He had heard the truth and stood within reach of eternal life, and he turned away. In the Bible, there's no record that Agrippa ever was anything more than almost. He might have lived for years after this conversation, but nothing more is said of him. For all we know, he slipped away into history as soon as he faded from these pages. I come here tonight to speak to you very plainly because I don't want to see anybody in here who is almost. I'm sure it describes some people in here. People who have heard the gospel message plenty of times before, thought about it, probably read some verses. You might even know that the Bible is true. But if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, if you've never had made the call for the need of salvation, then you've never had that moment where you've moved from death into life. And if that sounds like you, then you are in this category of almost. And almost isn't enough. I'm going to read another verse now in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 12. This is a parable in the book that Jesus was telling to some men about another person. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, this is Jesus, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." And he said, "This I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?' So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." This man had no shortage of success in the world. He had crops, wealth, plans for his future. He thought that he had security. He had the approval of the world. And he had his future mapped out for himself. Like he said, many years, take thine ease. He assumed that he had time. He assumed that his soul could wait while his body enjoyed. But he didn't see what was coming. While that man thought of his barns and his buildings and his goods, God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." I don't know about you, but I haven't heard God say, "Thou fool," too much. But when somebody thinks that they have security in tomorrow while not preparing for eternity, then I can see why God uses that word without hesitation. The verse says, "This night." And this is something everybody should take to heart. This isn't just a story. This isn't just a parable told by Jesus. It's the reality. Right now in this world, so many people would have woken up this morning, had plans for tomorrow, next week, next year even, and yet this night have stepped into eternity. Death doesn't wait for when you're ready. The judgment of God doesn't pause because of your plans. You can have all the wealth in the world, all the influence over people, but if you're not prepared to meet God, you are not ready for anything. Now, I know there's people here who have heard me tell my testimony before, and I'm not going to go into great detail about it now, but I am going to go over some of it here. It was, my story started with a relatively normal week. My spouse was having some medical tests done at the hospital. Nothing, just some headaches, and we were trying to figure out what it was about. And we were moved from the Charlottetown Hospital to the Moncton Hospital. And there was nothing overly serious, nothing truly alarming. She was in prep there for 2 days waiting for the surgery time to come up. They were taking out a medical device she had as a kid that was no longer needed. And I went home that night to prepare for the next day. And at 2 a.m, I got a phone call. And it's a phone call nobody in here ever wants to receive. It's one of those calls where time kind of stops for you whenever it comes through. Her name was Emily Smallman, and I was with her for 16 years. And on that night, she was gone. No warnings, no final goodbyes, gone. At that point, I was left heartbroken, angry, very much lost. And I was standing facing eternity, thankfully not mine at the time, but hers. And I might not have known it at the time, but at that moment, God was already working in my life and in my heart. I just didn't understand it at that time. As you do, I received many condolence cards from people all over, family, friends. One from the people at this hall. I didn't attend this hall back then. The card from here, it had a few names that didn't mean anything to me, and some Bible verses that, while they read nice, they also didn't mean much to me at the time. back then, my brother came here, and so all these people were just, those are friends of my brother. Not that I didn't appreciate it. But the card came from them, and so I asked my brother and his wife, how do I say thank you to the people here at the hall? And she said, come to a couple gospel meetings, meetings like we're having right now. And she said, everybody will take that as a thank you if you come to the meetings. So that's what I decided I was going to do. In my mind, I said, I'm coming to 3 gospel meetings, and that'll be more than enough to say thank you to everybody. So I came to 3 meetings. I walked in those doors a minute or two before the meeting began, and as soon as the last prayer was done, I was back out those doors. And then the 4th Sunday, I didn't come. I stayed home. And that night, something wasn't feeling right for me. I didn't know what was, but something wasn't right. And that led me to downloading a Bible app on my phone because I didn't have a Bible. And I started to look up verses about pain and loss and suffering, all the stuff I was dealing with. Psalm 34 and 18 stuck out to me. The Lord is nigh unto them that are brokenhearted, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Because that's where I was. I was broken and sad and very much frustrated. You know, as anybody would be mourning the loss of their spouse. So then the next week I went back to the meetings. And I wasn't going out of obligation anymore, but I was trying to understand what didn't feel right for me at the time. I was searching and hoping that something would bring the pieces together so that things would start to make sense. And while I was coming to the meetings, I started looking around here at the different people and seeing how they were and what their lives were. And they didn't have the answers to everything, obviously. But they had almost a peace with their assurance. They had this peace about them. And I didn't have what they had. But even with all the verses that I was reading at the time or all the messages that I came in here and heard people speak from up here, I still couldn't figure it out. Like on this picture back here, I was standing at that door right there, and I couldn't figure out how to walk through the thing. I was understanding the gospel, but I hadn't believed it for myself at this point. I was like Agrippa in the story we read. I was almost persuaded. Or like the rich man, I was making plans for my life, and I was ignoring what eternity held for me. And then this brings us up to the point in my story where I had a turning point. The morning of March 10th, 2023, I was sitting in the back seat of a car parked at the QEH hospital in Charlottetown, the hospital where everything began, so I was looking for a distraction. And one of the people who attended this hall, who I had become friends with at the time, who unfortunately has left us now, but Timmy McKenzie had recommended a podcast that I should listen to. Different preachers giving gospel and ministry messages. So I downloaded one of the ones he had suggested and started listening to it in the back of the car. The speaker who I was listening to, his name was Jack Hay. Name didn't mean a thing to me. But he was telling a story, and he was clearly putting forth the message of the gospel with a little bit of ministry in there. And he came upon a verse. I had heard the verse, but I hadn't heard the verse before. The verse was actually part of a verse, Joel 2 and 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. I kind of had a breaking point right then. I had heard the verse. This verse is quoted in the book of Romans. Again, it's almost exactly the same. And I had heard that verse many times here at the hall through the gospel messages that I had heard, and it didn't get through this thick skull. But for some reason, at that moment, at that place, at that time, listening to that podcast, I understood. It meant different. The verse meant me at that point. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. It wasn't about me trying to clean up my life. It wasn't about me trying to heal the heartbreak I was going through, fixing my failures, or even understanding this book. I just had to call out. So I paused that podcast and I closed my eyes and I started to speak out loud in the back of the car to myself and to God. And I'm sure if somebody walked by, I might have looked a little crazy even. But at that moment, I understood that I was a sinner and that I've been resisting, that I was delaying things. But right then, I believed. I believed that Jesus had died for me. I believed that he had paid the price that I could never pay. And I trusted in his finished work. And at that moment, I was saved. Not almost, not hopefully, but saved. That burden of sin lifted. It felt like a literal physical weight lifted off of my chest at that point. My own fears about death were silenced at that moment, and I knew that I would spend eternity in heaven no matter what happened next. I know a lot of people like to think that they can wait till later for things. Someday later you'll understand it, or you'll believe when the time feels right for you. But that's just a dangerous assumption to even try and make. Speaking from my own experience, you don't know what tomorrow brings. You don't even know if you'll see tomorrow. You don't know if you'll see midnight tonight. The call of the gospel message isn't for next week or retirement or whenever work gets less busy for you. It's for right now. The Bible even says a verse... I think I might have said this last time I was up here too, a verse I quote pretty much every time. 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's no better moment than right now. The gospel message is an urgent message. And I know sometimes saying things like this, it can sound like we're trying to scare you into something, but it's a warning. It's not a scare tactic. Because you need to ask yourself, like, if tonight your soul was required of you, would you be ready for where you were to go? If this was the night, like that man we were reading about here in the book of Luke, would you die with your soul anchored in Christ? Or would you go into eternity with just possessions, plans, and your own sins? I know... You can look around at people in here sometimes and you can make assumptions as to what you need to have to be saved, but none of it really matters. Like, I just want to be clear, like, you don't have to be raised in a Christian family, or you don't even, this might sound weird to say, but you don't even have to attend these gospel meetings. Like, you can respect this Bible, you can believe God is real, or you can even agree with everything that I'm saying or Luke will say here tonight, and that alone will not save you. Agrippa did most of these things, and he was almost. It's not enough to just intend to be saved or to have an emotional feeling for Jesus. The only thing that really matters is whether you have trusted in Christ as your Savior or not. One of the most important verses, so we put it on the wall over here, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is a promise from God for everyone. It says, believeth in him. That's a personal choice that you must make. And if you've not made that personal choice, then by God's own word, you are still in your sins. Two verses past that one that's on the wall, John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Condemned already. This isn't a future possibility that you might be condemned for hell. Pardon me. It's a present condition. If you have not done something, if you have not believed in Christ, then you are condemned. You're already in that condition. That's the default condition we begin in. But that's something that you could change now. You could change at any moment. It changed for me that morning in a car. I was sitting in a car in a parking lot. The price of your salvation has already been paid. That invitation was given, and the only thing that is left is for you to accept it. Another verse, and I know a few people here who have been saved by this verse as well, but Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I know I've already said this, but I just want to be clear. Like, if you think you have to clean up your life first, you've missed the point. It's a gift from God. It's not about some balancing act of I got to do more good things in my life than bad things. If you think that, you've misunderstood the gospel message. It is by grace. It is by grace. It is through faith, and it is a gift of God. And gifts are not earned, they're received. So that brings me back to the main question. Like, are you persuaded, or are you just planning to get saved someday? If you're assuming that you have time later, you're wrong. Don't be like Agrippa was. Don't be like that rich man was. Don't be me about 2.5 years ago sitting there not understanding any of this. You can be saved tonight, here and now. As I said, the verse I was saved by, it's quoted in Romans 12. They're almost the same verse. They mean the exact same thing. Romans 10 and 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Joel 2 and 32, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Saved, delivered, they mean the same thing. And that's what I did. That's what everybody in this room who is saved and has believed did in some way. And that's all you need to do. You don't know if right now is your last opportunity. You don't know if this will be the last gospel message that you would ever hear. God is offering you forgiveness tonight. He's offering you peace. And he's offering you eternal life. Simply through the faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray, and I know every believer here prays, that you don't leave here tonight almost.